The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Tuesday morning, the 19th of November, 2019. We are here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie and all that kind of carry on. 4 minutes past nine now. It's kind of strange. A little strange out there. It's kind of dark, very dark, very ominous clouds. And I think the radio was saying that it's going to be, you know, raining. So. Umbrellas at dawn, everybody. Be careful. Can I just say, we got a load of letters and cards in the last week or two about the Gay Byrne tribute show on the Late Late and generally the radio programmes that week. And just wanted to say, I'm not going to get a chance really in the next little while to write back to everyone. I normally do. So it'll be a while before I get back to, could be even the new year. So in advance of that, can I just say thank you. We got them all. Pass on all of the gratitude to both TV and radio show teams and to say thank you. And it's nice of you. You don't need to do it, but it's generous. And we hear you and we appreciate it very, very, very much. In the papers this morning, loads of little bits and pieces to be discussing. But I think it's a big story for us because it's going to relate to something we did on the programme when we did the London Late Late special about a year ago. Little did we know when I was chatting to Brendan O'Carroll that the FAI's doctor was watching the TV, medical director Alan Byrne, I should say, was watching the TV, and he looked at Brendan and he said, he doesn't look good. His breathing is not good. And he got in touch with him. And this is the headline in the Irish Sun this morning, Ken Sweeney's story, Soccer Doc Saved My Life. And what happened, according to this story, I knew nothing about this, to be honest with you, till I picked up the papers this morning, knew nothing about it. Brendan O'Carroll's life was saved after a top doctor spotted he was breathless during a Late Late Show appearance in 2018. And this is Alan Byrne, the medical director, who noticed the star wasn't well as he watched him on the television and urged him to get a checkup. So Brendan said, I would have had a heart attack, only they put a stent in immediately. So that was pretty quick. And then you read into the story then in page 4 and 5, big spread there. Showing Brendan and Jenny there. Obviously, Brendan's making that heart thing that people started doing not too long ago. And now they're all doing it. And in this case, it's a good news story with the heart, with the hands. And he said that he went and sorted out. He told the Irish Sun, I remember feeling breathless for some reason. I'd sneaked out for a smoke. Well, that mightn't help things before the interview. And they'd said, come back quick, you're on. And I felt breathless at the time. But this was really bad. And Dr. Alan Byrne, who was watching it on the TV, really noticed. Within days, Brendan was being operated on at the Beacon Hospital, where surgeons uncovered a blockage around his heart. And he said, I was 99% blocked in one part, and I would have had a heart attack, only they put a stent in immediately. And earlier, Jenny, his wife, recounted how surgeons at the Beacon warned her they were going to open up her husband and would operate on his heart immediately if they found anything wrong. They said that they were going to take Brendan down for an angiogram, and if they found something, treated while they were there. And it was only supposed to be 45 minutes going in, but it was an hour and a half later. The surgeon walked in like one of those moments out of an ER drama, and they said and out he came looking good and survived. So it is a good news story. That happened to Conor Lennon on Primetime. I think he had something on his neck or something, and a medic was watching it and saying, you know, you need to watch that. It's funny because people watch the TV for, like, a doctor will watch a TV and say, oh no, your man's got the side of the face is going down a bit, or one eye is doing that, and your man's. And if I have a watch or something on, or if I go to a particular shop to buy a shirt, or if I go to the dentist or a barber, they will tell me on the next, God, the hair wasn't great there last couple of weeks, or, you know, whatever they're interested in, they'll notice, like your shoes or your. But more importantly, if a medical person is looking at you and saying, out of breath, not good, watch yourself, mind yourself, that's important. Happy scenes of the Defence Forces arriving back in Ireland following deployment in Lebanon. Welcome home is what I'm trying to say. Tricolours flying, balloons, welcome home, children wore t-shirts saying, get out of my way, dad's coming home today. The 114th Infantry Battalion deployed in May to South Lebanon as part of the peacekeeping force deployed by the UN, arriving home. And I just wanted to give them the nod this morning. What a lovely thought as they all have their breakfast today, thrilled and back in action and happy and back in the family way, as it were. And that's lovely. And that will be a big theme for the toy show this year, with more of which later. Paul McCartney, who you may or may not know that I am a fan of, sent out a tweet, and a very McCartney tweet. It's a picture of Philip Glass, the composer, you know, and then the actress Emma Stone, and then a picture of Chuck Berry. So it's Glaston Berry. I mean, it's pure McCartney, God help us. But anyway, he did it, and that's what he is, and that's why we love him. Because he's, you know, dad jokes and things like that. He's kind of like that, but yeah. And he put that out. It was the worst riddle of all time, and we all had it within about 3 seconds. But the bottom line, he's going to be performing at Glastonbury in June 2020. Now, I've seen Paul McCartney 9 times in concert, including trips to London and Munich and, you know, wherever I can get to see him. The 10th time hasn't happened yet. But the one thing, a pal of mine sent me a message last night saying, so Glastonbury, like we're all Macca fans, Glastonbury 2020. I said, what? Glastonbury? Could you imagine me, fastidious, neurotic, about travelling, sitting in a Glastonbury? Like, do you have to camp in Glastonbury? Is that the point? Like, there's no, you can't go in and go out. Like, I'm still scarred from Slane. I didn't like Slane at all, trying to get in and out and travelling at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's not my bag at all. But has anyone listening been to Glastonbury? And is it worth the trek? Like, what is it, a horror show? I mean, is it Vietnam with speakers? Like, what is Glastonbury in terms of getting there, enjoying it, and not living in filth? Is it possible? Because I really would consider that. It's the 50th anniversary, McCartney, the Glastonbury experience. I just don't know. I just don't think I'm that soldier. But if anyone listening and says, look, you can get around, it's not that bad, you know, do let me know. Thank you, 51551. I see also in the Examiner today they're advertising the marquee gigs in Cork for the summer. It's kind of nice projecting forward. These are obviously Christmas present ideas as well, no doubt, tickets for gigs. But I just love the marquee gigs. Now, the lads were telling me this morning that this could be the last year of the marquee. Is that true? Maybe our friends in Aikens promotions will tell us if that's true or not. And if it's true, will they be moving it to somewhere else? I mean, there was talk of the land being used for other purposes, what have you. Anyway, the four big gigs are advertising. Our friend Christy Moore, who will be joining us on the Late Late Show on Friday, is playing June 27th. By the way, he's just in such good form, and the Friday night will be him playing bits and pieces of music from his new album, which is a joy. Jenny Green and the RT Concert Orchestra is there on the 26th of June. And then a few days before that, again, on the 24th of June, it's Cat Stevens, or Yusuf. When he was on with us on the Late Late Show, it was Yusuf Islam. He's changed that for his own reasons, no doubt, to just Yusuf. And now they've changed it again to Cat Stevens Yusuf. So he's kind of going back again to kind of cover all angles. So there he is, an evening with Cat Stevens. Well, we were big Cat Stevens fans in our family throughout the 70s and 80s. The T for the Tiller Man. Was that an album? I seem to remember an album that was like cartoony and cute, and Father and Son and all the great songs and great music there. And then the big one that'll be of great excitement for a lot of people on the 25th of June is Diana Ross. Diana Ross in a tent in Cork. Very good, why not? But it's a lovely venue and very intimate. I went to see Tom Jones there, Elton John there. And it's perfect. It sounds good. It's well run. It's easy to get in and out of. So there's four nice potential gigs for you if you're thinking of making your way somewhere nice. Did you see this woman, Jennifer Akuri, who may or may not have had a fling with Boris Johnson, with the emphasis on may, and she's been kind of going around, doing the rounds, making a few bob, giving interviews to TV stations and so on, kind of being coy about whether or not she did anything with Boris Johnson. And she seems to be suggesting now that he was throwing her under the bus and all this sort of carry on. She's a US businesswoman, centre of misconduct controversy. Anyway, she was on with Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain, I think is the name of the programme. And that was fine. And at the end of that programme, she was still there when they, what they call hand over and say, okay, thanks, what's her name, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming on the show. That was great. And now we're going to pass the show to Lorraine Kelly. She's got quite a thick accent from Scotland. But you'll hear it. And Lorraine said, that's great. But she suddenly kind of turned around and said, what was the point of having that person on? Why would you bother? She didn't. You asked her all the questions. She didn't answer any. Probably took the check and that was the end of it. So she kind of took her on. But she didn't. I don't know if she realised that the guest was still there. And it turned a bit odd. This is what happened.
Thank you very much.
Lorraine is here. Lorraine.
Yeah. God, that was crazy, wasn't it? That was... What's the point? Coming on, not answering any questions. Point that. Anyway, I know, it just doesn't make any sense. What's the point of you coming on and then not saying anything?
I'm sorry?
What is the point of you coming on the TV to clear the air and then you don't say anything?
Well, I believe I said a few things. What is it that you're looking for that I say?
Well, you didn't answer any of the questions that were put to you, and I just don't see the point of you coming on, to be honest. Anyway, let me tell you what's coming on after half.
There were times down through the years, and I'm a different person now to the man I was before, where you would love to say that to a guest. What was the point of that? Why did you bother? You didn't want... You came on to say something, you didn't say anything, you bottled it, and you're no use to us. So off you go. Anyway, it was kind of meta, wasn't it? Lorraine coming on after the interview to talk about the interview that didn't happen and so on. People, Glastonbury sold out long ago. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's put it as a moot discussion, shall we? As something that we... What would you do if... is Glastonbury like Vietnam? Stephen Limerick says, you wouldn't know. You weren't there, man. Yeah, I know. I used the term loosely. Can I just say congratulations to somebody? I missed this during the last couple of days because things were pretty hectic, but I really wanted to say congratulations to Eamon McEnany, who is a great friend of history, is what I'll describe him as, and he does an amazing job as director of the Waterford Medieval Museum. And the Norwegian government liked what he's done in terms of promoting that element of history, that he was knighted to his credit. He was appointed officer, knight first grade of the Royal Norwegian Order of Merit by the Norwegian ambassador on Friday. It's gone back a few days, but I did want to catch up. It was on behalf of King Harald V of Norway. And the museum was responsible for the first virtual reality Viking adventure, which was established in 2017. And I did it, and it's really good and great fun. And it's again, a well-run operation, great respect for history, and opening the doorway, the gateway to history for children all over the place. And it's the most successful visitor attraction in the city. And he was also project manager on the Viking Triangle, which was a heritage-led regeneration in the city. So well done to Mr. McEnany, a good egg, and fully deserving of that award. It's great. I love seeing people who promote local history in their towns, villages, cities around the country getting the nod they deserve. And another kind of local tradition is the holly bough. Now, I wasn't familiar with the holly bough, but I was told when it landed on my desk from our friends in the Echo that this is a tradition since 1897. Where were you? And they very kindly sent me a couple of copies of it. And it strikes me as being a bit like a school annual every year, but for the city. And I want to thank Morris Gubbins, who's the editor of the Echo, for very kindly sending it to us. And I've had a really enjoyable run through that, Morris, and to you and your colleagues for putting it together. It's just a gorgeous... It's old school and yet with a modern twist, which is right up my street. So thank you for that. That's something that is obviously a firm favourite in the mean streets of Cork City, where we were not too long ago. And heaps and heaps of texts here on 51551. Another thank you, by the way, to Deborah and Neil from Three Little Birds for the lovely calendar they sent me. And they're making, they do paper and crafts, and their card with an elf and fairy lights is right up my street. I'm going to put that on my desk because it's really cute. And thank you for that. And also quick thank you to Mary and Kate Masterson, who run the Kitchen Whisk, which I passed by one Sunday morning. They weren't there, but I went in and bought some stuff from a kitchen. And they very kindly followed that up with saying, sorry we missed you. and sent the most beautiful cookbook, which was received gratefully. So thank you both. And all these are all people who are running local businesses and happen to have the radio on in their studios or their office or their workplaces. And, you know, it's just really nice that we're all in the same kind of gang in the club and to be writing to each other and everything. I really appreciate it. I don't take it lightly. Now, will we take a few in Glastonbury? I wouldn't waste my time or energy, says Jim in Clontarf, or money going to Glastonbury to see McCartney or anyone else for that matter. Tickets are snapped up in an instant by fans who don't know who's playing. So it's just a place to brag that you were there. And secondly, you can't see the damn stage with all those flags blocking your view. You know, I see it on TV, the flags. We do get to an age, don't you? I was saying this to somebody recently, where you get to an age where you go, particularly with, say, a match or something, you're tempted just to put the kettle on and watch it at home as much as get the tickets to go. But then you can't beat the atmosphere in a few scoops afterwards and all that scoops. You would hate it, says a text. Stay away. Okay, I've been 6 times. Probably had some of the best weekends of my life, but I'm 40 now and I couldn't go again. Getting there involves planes, packed trains, and when you're there, if the weather's bad, it's a swamp. If the weather's good, there's no shelter. The toilets are called the long drop. I think that says it all. I still go to festivals and I've seen you around the Electric Picnic having a great time, but I can't picture you at Glastonbury. Just like I can't picture myself there anymore. Are you handing your badge and gun in at 40? You can't do, lads, you can't be doing that. It's enjoy yourselves, it's later than the thing. You heard the song. You can't be doing that. I'll talk about accents and the Derry accent and other stories beside in a few minutes' time. But I think what I'm going to do is play some music and I'm going to start with this. That'll do, Pig. And that'll be Prince Sam. And actually, it reminds me a little bit of the swan, this crazy swans. I mean, whatever doves crying, swans are moaning because they get so used to being fed that they won't take no for an answer. So there are these swans in Britain have taken to knocking on the doors of the villagers' doors to demand food. And they've taught their young ones, their cygnets, to copy their behaviour. And so the residents of this village have learned to keep a loaf of bread around at all times in case the visitors come to call. The swans have been coming to the houses for years. They've been filmed waddling up to the house, making their hungry demands. And one of them said that, although not the swan, the people, that although they scare off postal workers, I wouldn't be without them. I know that other people who live locally have a special place in their hearts for the swans. They make the effort to get bread for them. And what happens is the swans come up and they're starving and have some neck. And they come up and they start knocking on the... Come on. And I have the toy show in less than 10 days. I have to start doing this stuff. It has to start... The wheels have to start coming off this train eventually. Anyway, the swans... they bang on the window using their beaks. Or they get a hold of the letterbox. Imagine with their... Well, that's a bill you don't mind seeing coming through the door. Ah, come on. Give me a... I'm having great crack, lads. Table for one. Anyway... The bill goes through, the beak or whatever you want to call it. I presume swans have bills too, don't they? And they're at the letterbox and they're looking for food. And if you open the door and say no, they just keep knocking. And the swans are wild birds. This is David Barber. Did you ever hear of him? He's the Queen's swan marker. Is the Queen allowed to eat swan? Isn't this one of the famous things? Could you imagine if you knock the head off from the torso, you basically got a baguette. Like, it depends, like, it's probably tough, but essentially, and like a BLT sort of thing with the... Anyway, I'll keep marching on, because sure, people would eat anything now. The swans are wild birds, said the marker. This should always be borne in mind. But swans that are also fed by humans on a regular basis become accustomed to the practice and will often appear at the site of feeding at the usual time. Anyway, that's what they're saying. I've often found swans to be kind of deceptive. You think, oh, they're so graceful, and you go near them, they'll be at you. Not far off, the goose, who are particularly vicious, I've often found. But anyway, let's not get into that too much, because I want to mention briefly Nadine Coyle. And Nadine Coyle is featuring on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here at the moment, which for some bizarre reason is very popular. It's a programme that I cannot watch and won't watch, don't get it. But those who get it, love it. So I'm not raining in your parade, I'm just saying it's just not for me. I'm watching Gold Digger at the moment, this drama. It drops once a week and I wish I could binge, it's so good. Is a woman, she's 60 years old, very attractive, and this young guy about 30, and they bump into each other in a museum, where else, and they have a fling, and then they start going out together, and she has to introduce him to her family who are at the same age, and he comes to the table and they're having dinner, and one of the lads says, "No, you're okay, thanks, we've ordered." And she goes, "No, that's him. Oh, I thought he was the waiter. No, that's my new boyfriend." So it's very good, but he's quite sinister because we reckon he's a gold digger. So that's quite good. But anyway, meanwhile, everyone else who cares about it is watching I'm a Celebrity. And what happened is, anyway, Nadine Coyle is on I'm a Celebrity. You remember Nadine Coyle down through the years, and she's been very famous, and she's now on this programme. But lots of people are having difficulty understanding her accent. And when I say lots of people, not me, not us on this island, but people across the way are going, "I don't know what she's bloody talking about." Well, I mean, so what? Here's what she's sounding like on I'm a Celebrity.
My experience of the great outdoors is varied. We tried to camp before. I stayed at my friend's caravan, and they had the tent out the front, and we stayed on there until it got really creepy at about 9:30, and then we went back in to the caravan.
Little vocal fry there, and at the end of that day, the caravan. Say flour.
I enjoy cooking bacon and stuff. Working with flour.
Whoa! Now, in fairness, working with what?
I enjoy cooking bacon and stuff. Working with flour.
With flour? That's pretty. You know, of, you know, very. Okay. What else have we got? Just to kind of get a flavor. Hours is another word that could be.
That was a long beautifying process.
Long.
Oh my God. Hours and hours and hours.
Yes.
That's Living with Lucy there. And hours, hours. That's a flyer and hour. And that is it. Derry. My grandmother was from Derry. And it didn't, the accent gene didn't travel down, I will say. But I've always enjoyed the Derry accent, to be honest with you. Brona Gallagher, for example, has a beautiful Derry accent.
It was 1972 I was born in, and, you know, it was a very, very difficult time in Irish history. So our parents, as much as they could, would distract us with the local pantomimes, the local art gallery. We had a wonderful art gallery there, the Orchard Gallery. And anything going on at all, no matter what the situation, as long as it was safe to go out, our parents would take us to stuff. Dickie Rock in the Rialto, always going up to see Dickie Rock every Christmas, which is great.
The late Martin McGuinness, of course, another famous Derry accent.
I think what people are going to witness today is not hype, but history. And what we're going to see today is one of the mightiest leap forward that this process has seen.
Dana, all kinds of every accent.
Yes, although I was really nervous going in because I hadn't actually recorded a studio album like this in some time. And
that's okay. I'm still fascinated by flour. Self-raising flour and, you know, plain flour.
I enjoy cooking bacon and stuff, working with flour.
Yeah. Yes!
The worst thing that could happen in the jungle is death.
Whew, that's pretty stark. Now, that's Nadine and her accent, which is provoking all sorts of reaction. But that's what it is. All accents provoke all sorts of responses, don't they? According to the Irish Examiner, the long-running Live at the Marquee concert series comes to an end in 2020. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But the developers who own Cork Showgrounds will be on site building up to 1,000 homes in the brownfield Docklands site. So that's good news for people looking for a house and bad news for concert goers, I suppose you can say. But hopefully they find another site. If you have an opportunity to go to Glastonbury, go. Yes, I know you can come and go, as I would not be camping, etc. We have tried and failed to get tickets recently. It's harder than getting All-Ireland final tickets, believe me. Sure, if you get there and don't like it, you can just leave. I'm Emmett Lynch. I'm 43. I'm from Tullamore. I've been to Glastonbury every year since 2002. Every year it's been on. I've gone in a camper van, hired a caravan on site, and stayed in a hotel 7 miles from the site last year. It's always been magical. Once it starts, it's very easy to get around. I failed to get tickets for the first time this year, and I'm devastated. So, if you're going, can you bring me? I'll show you around. Wonderful. And on the subject of Brendan O'Carroll, spotted by the FAI medic saying you need to get your heart sorted out, somebody says that when Michael Dee was in Grafton Street campaigning for the presidency, an American tourist who was an orthopaedic surgeon watched him walking and suggested surgery, which eventually Michael Dee did have. Now, I'm not sure whether the intercession, if you like, was what changed his mind or moved him towards the hospital. But either way, he had it and it was successful. So that worked. My daughter and her husband, says the text, go to Glastonbury every year. And last year they took their 1-year-old daughter with them and had a great time. They go for 5 days, rent a tent, and they love it. Well, they are definitely experienced and veterans at that. So good. Thank you for all those steers and hints as what to do. I will put that on the back burner and see what might or might not happen. I have a guest with an intriguing story. I'm going to bring to you after this.